Chapter 15. Parents.
Can we talk more about parents for a bit?
Sure.
Why can't my parents stay in love and stay married?
Your parents can stay in love and stay married, but it would require a shift in the things they believe for them to do so. Your parents would have to believe that love is a decision, not a reaction. Then they would have to decide to love each other in the way that they did when they first met. In those days, they forgave each other everything, if they even saw anything to forgive. This is because they imagined their self-interests to be identical. Now they imagine their self-interests to have diverged. Sometimes people's interests seem to conflict, but it is rarely that they really do. This is because all people ultimately want the same thing. All you have to do is identify the desire that's behind the desire that's behind the desire. You may have to dig deeply sometimes, but at the core of someone else's desire, you will almost always find your own and an interest that you share in common. It is in being willing to dig deeply to find this common interest that the work of love is done. It is in finding this common interest that its joy is made real. Love says, "I know that you and I are one, and that we are both after the same thing ultimately. There is something that we both desire here, and we simply think that there are different ways of achieving it. These different ways seem to conflict with each other right now, making it look like we are in opposition, that we need to be opponents, but I am willing to move out of opposition and into supposition. I am willing to suppose that somewhere beneath all of this apparent conflict, we can find that desire that you and I share in common, and then co-create a way for us both to experience that. In many, many instances, such a shift in awareness can recreate a marriage anew. Now, there are some instances when reaching this, achieving this understanding leads to a return to love between people, but not a return to the old form of their relationship. For many very good reasons, it may not work for them to do so. They decide that they will recreate their loving relationship in another way, which does not include remaining together. You can be very okay and live a happy life if your parents do not stay together, but that would require a shift in the things you believe. You would have to understand that you, and no other people, places, or things, are the source of your happiness, security, and love. You would have to believe that you are not the cause or in any way to blame for your parents' separation, that they still love you as much as they ever did, and that they will be there for you in the best way they can. You would have to know that even if they weren't able to be there for you, God is. This means that you would have to trust life, to know that all things will work out for the highest good, that God is on your side, and that with the entire universe thus lined up with you, nothing can stop you from experiencing peace, happiness, love, and joy in your life, if you choose to. This is the truth, I promise you. I will never leave you. And you can call on me at any time, in any moment, for strength, for courage, for insight, to catch your tears and hold your heart and quiet your mind and heal your soul and restore your whole self to its magnificent wonder. Believe in yourself. Believe in me. Believe in love. For these three are one. These three are eternal. These three will bless and grace the universe forever.
Why is it that when you have different opinions, ideas, thoughts, and actions, that your parents get upset and want you to conform to their opinions, ideas, thoughts, and actions?
Parents naturally think that their opinions, ideas, thoughts, and actions are the ones that make sense since they are the ones who had them and did them. You think that your opinions, ideas, thoughts, and actions are the ones that make sense for exactly the same reason. Human beings do not like differences, and the older they get,
the less they like them. Humans like sameness because they assume that sameness validates their own rightness. In other words, if you are doing it the same as me, the way I'm doing it must be right. As soon as you do something different from me, I feel made wrong. Or at least I can, depending upon my level of inner security. The human race has not been known to be particularly secure.
How can we change that? When I have kids, I don't want to be making them wrong every time they do or suggest something different from me.
Inner security comes from moving back into your own original power. It means understanding deeply the relationship between you and God. It is about knowing that there is no such thing as right and wrong. There is only that which works and does not work, depending upon what it is you are trying to do. The principles I have outlined in this conversation may help you. Listening to them several times may be of assistance as you seek to create a place of mind from which you can make this change in you.
What's the deal with the generation gap? Why can't parents just talk with us?
Some parents do not feel equipped to talk openly with their children. They feel that they are speaking a different language, coming from a different place, concerned about different things, holding different values. All of these things may in fact be true.
So what? So why can't they still talk with us? Do we have to agree on everything to have a meaningful conversation?
No. But often parents feel the same way that teenagers say that teenagers do. Unheard, misunderstood, disappeared.
Parents feel this way? How can they feel this way when they're the ones who are not hearing, misunderstanding, and disappearing us?
Everything that you experience in yourself you will see across the room if you look closely enough.
What do you mean?
I mean that the whole world is a mirror, reflecting yourself back to you. If you feel unheard, misunderstood, and disappeared, it may be because that is how you make others feel. Put another way, if you make others feel completely heard, deeply understood, and totally present during a moment when they are with you, it will be very, very difficult, probably impossible, for you to feel unheard, misunderstood, or disappeared in that same moment. What goes around comes around. Once you know that your parents can feel the same way you do, the door of opportunity swings open. You have a chance to establish some real communication.
I wonder. Sometimes I wonder if I'll ever have a meaningful talk with my parents again. They seem so distant.
Well, this is what we have been talking about, isn't it? Some parents feel that their teenage sons and daughters are distant, so the feeling is mutual.
Okay, then. Why? Why is this happening?
The separate generations think that they have different interests and different goals. Actually, all human beings have the same goals and are interested in the same thing, being themselves and experiencing that at the next highest level, and the next, and the next. The scientific name for this process is evolution, and it is what is going on everywhere. Very few people on either side of what you call the generation gap see this, however. They imagine that they each want something different, and they also imagine that it is the other generation that is standing in their way of getting it. This is because the two generations do not talk to each other, because they think they have nothing in common. So the circle completes itself, and there is a generation gap.
So, what do we do?
Change it. Be one of the changers. There are a lot of ways you can get this process going. You can have discussions with older adults, even create regular discussion nights and form discussion circles. At your local youth center, at the senior citizen center, or at the community center, Neutral Turf, in your town. You can ask each other questions on all manner of things, get each other's opinion, and even give each other advice. You can also just start talking to your parents. And if they won't listen, write to them. Most will read what you have to say. And in the written stuff, ask them again to sit down with you and listen to you. But you must also be willing, and tell them you are, to listen to them. Tell them these could be some of the last chances you will ever have to just sit down and talk together, to look at life, to share feelings and thoughts and ideas together. Tell them it's important to you. Make the first move. Take the first step. As I said, many of your parents think that you don't want to talk with them. They think you're bored with their ideas and don't want to hear from them. They think that you just want them to leave you alone, so they do. It's the easy way out. Don't let them take it, and don't you take it. You want to close the generation gap? Close it. Do it. It's up to you. Most parents, most adults, will come halfway if you do. Okay, not all of them. There are those who won't, but most of them will. Give it a try, you might surprise yourself.
Why is it that my parents notice only the things that I do wrong?
Most parents do not notice only the things you do wrong. Most parents also notice the things you do right. They just don't say anything about it. People in general do not dwell on the positive, but instead emphasize the negative. This is a habit of most human beings. It might even be one of yours. If people understood the power of positive thinking, they would never dwell on the negative again.
So how can I get my parents to say something when they see something that I am doing right?
By saying something when you see something that they are doing right. Remember this always. What goes around comes around. If you told your parents every time you saw them doing something that you thought was good or cool or helpful or of benefit to you, you would probably shock them out of their minds. You would also open the door to receiving such energies in return. You could even make that a neat bumper sticker. Say something good when you see something right. That little slogan implemented could change the world.
Why do I always have to be the one to start? Why can't they do it without my having to show them how?
That's a fair question, and it gives me a chance to get across another very valuable piece of information. So thanks for asking it. Remember this always. What you seek from another, give to another. That which you wish to experience, cause another to experience.
You mean I have to give something in order to get it?
No, you don't have to. It's just the fastest way. It's the way to use the power of creation at its optimum level.
I don't get it. How am I creating something in my life if I am giving it away?
First of all, what goes around comes around, as I've just said. So what you give to others comes back to you, usually multiplied.
So that's why you say, do unto others as you would have it done unto you.
Yes, that is more than just a nice saying. That is what actually happens. What you do unto others will be done unto you sooner or later. This is the law of ultimate return. It has nothing to do with punishments or rewards. It's simply how things are. It's how everything works. Life is a boomerang, and what you send out, you get back. It is inevitable. So here is the best advice I could ever offer you as you move through your teen years and become adults. What you seek from another, give to another. What you seek from the world, give to the world. What you seek from life, give to life. If you want great vibes coming in, send great vibes out. Be the source of that which you wish to receive.
But doesn't this contradict what you said earlier about never doing anything to please another?
No. What I went on to say was, do what you do for another not to please them, but because it pleases you. And I also said that in order to notice how it pleases you, you must look closely at where you and the other share a common interest. When you recognize this common interest, then you are able to see that what you are doing for someone else is really being done for you. This includes doing unto others as you would have it done unto you. It especially includes that.
But how can I give away something that I don't have? If I need more money in my life, how in the world can I get it by giving it away?
The idea that you don't have enough of something is an illusion. That is, it may look like you don't have enough, but in ultimate reality you do. In order to experience this, find someone who has less of whatever it is that you desire. Now give that person some of what little you imagine yourself to have. You will immediately experience that you have had enough of it all along. So much, in fact, that you can actually give it away. In that moment, you will change your life. You will shift your reality. This shift from not enough to enough, from insufficiency to sufficiency, will change the way you hold your experience of yourself, and thus the way you produce it. Because what you think, you create. So now, to get back to your original question, the question that started all of this. If you feel that you are not experiencing enough of the good feelings that come from having the things you are doing right noticed by your parents, cause your parents to experience enough of the good feelings that come from having the things they are doing right noticed by you. Now the magic will happen. First, you will feel good immediately, simply noticing how good they feel when you do this. Second, you will invoke the law of ultimate return, and you will be noticed for the things that you are doing well.
I keep hearing that, as you sow, so shall you reap, but that's not always true. I treat a lot of people in a certain way who do not treat me that way.
I agree that this is sometimes the case. You cannot always depend on receiving from a person the same thing that you give to that person.
Okay, so now I'm totally confused. I thought you said what goes around comes around.
I did, but I did not say from where. What you put into life will come back from life, but not necessarily from the same place into which you put it. Sometimes it will come from the same place, but by no means always. Yet what will happen is that it will come back from somewhere. Sooner or later, this will occur. If you pay close enough attention to life and how it is, you will see this law working.
But why can't it come back from the person I give it to? Like love, why can't the people I love me?
The law doesn't work that way. It would be too easy to manipulate everyone with it if it did. Besides, you really don't want people to love you because you love them, trust me. You want people to love you not as a return for what you give them, but as an honest response and reaction to how you are in the world, whether you do something specifically for them or not. Do not, therefore, fall into the trap of treating someone nicely just so that they will treat you nicely. If you're not careful, that could develop into a manipulation. Treat others nicely simply because that's who you are, and that's who you choose to be. It is from this place of beingness, yep, here we go again, that you create your reality. Always and forever, this is true.
Why do parents always have to act like parents? Why can't they let their hair down a little? Last night, I found my dad and mom making out, and you would have thought I caught them robbing a bank or something.
Parents sometimes feel that they have to portray a certain image to their children, and being romantic or sexual in front of them is often not part of that, unless it is. It depends upon what your parents themselves think about these things, and what they would like you to think about them. If they want you to enjoy these things, they will let you see them enjoy them. If they want you to feel comfortable with these experiences, they will let you see them being comfortable with them. Parents who act like parents do so because that is what they think they are supposed to do in front of their children. Children are rarely fooled by this, however. They see that their parents are wearing the emperor's new clothes.
What does that mean?
Ask your parents.
When I become a parent, will I make the same mistakes that today's parents are making? Will I do the same things that they are doing now, even though I hate some of what they're doing? The reason that I ask you this is that my parents say that I will. They keep saying, when you have children of your own, you'll see things differently. Will I? I hope not.
You will see things differently, there is no doubt. Every day you see things differently. That is called growth. That is called change. That is called evolution. That is something you want to have happen. But that does not mean that you will do things the same way as your parents. You may or you may not. You will, unless you don't. What will cause you to do one thing or the other is your idea about yourself. Every moment you are defining yourself. Every day you are deciding who you are and who you wish to be. Most people do not see life in this way. Most people do not consider themselves to be actively engaging in this process. The turning point in life comes when you do. You can begin to decide now what it means to you to be the thing called parent. Do you choose to have a genuine friendship with your children? Do you choose for them to be able to come to you with any problem, to ask any favor, to seek any advice? Everything your parents gave you was a gift. Not just the things you want to emulate, but the things you want to eliminate. Not just the things you want to remember, but the things you want to forget. Not just the things that made you laugh, but the things that made you cry. All of it was a treasure. All of it. For it is from the lot of it that you will pick and choose. It is from the whole of it that you will select. It is from the all of it that you will come to know the part of it that you wish to call you. This is not only true of what you receive from your parents, but from all of life.
Chapter 16, The Future.
Will I thrive in the future when I grow up? Will I be struggling?
Can you give us a glimpse of what our future holds?
Guys, I am not creating your future. You are. People keep asking me, God, what's going to be in my future? And I keep saying, I don't know what is going to be in your future. And they say, but you're supposed to know. And I say, but you're supposed to know. And they say, but you have the power to decide. And I say, but you have the power to decide. You see, here is how life works. You decide what you choose, and then I make it happen. It is not the other way around. The problem is, you think it is the other way around. You think that I decide what I choose, and it is up to you to make it happen. This reversal of the whole God-human relationship is what has created the twisted and distorted experience that you are having on your planet.
So you're saying that I can have whatever I want?
No, God says you cannot have what you want.
What?
I said you cannot have what you want. And the more you want something, the less chance there'll be that you'll ever have it.
What are you saying?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
This is the process of creation. Remember what I said about how you create your reality? You do so with thoughts, words, and deeds. Now, if you are thinking, I want a partner for my mom and a dad for me, what you will have is the experience of wanting one.
Why? What are you talking about?
I am saying that as you speak it, so it will be done unto you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh.
Man, you lost me.
What you think is what you create. What you say is what you create. What you do is what you create. If you think you want so-and-so, if you say you want so-and-so, and if you act as if you want so-and-so, then you will absolutely create the experience of wanting it. Try to remember that the words I and I am are the keys that turn the ignition in the engine of creation. Whatever comes after the word I or I am will come to you in your experience. If you say, I want something, that will be your experience. You will have the experience of wanting it. Therefore, guard your thoughts, words, and actions, and make sure that they reflect what you choose to experience in your life.
You mean I have to watch every word that I say?
No, that would make everyone crazy. But you would do well to take stock of how you usually think and the things you frequently say and the way you often act. Continually thinking, talking, and acting in a certain way produces enormous vibes, as we've discussed before. These energy vibrations are what create your reality.
So if we're talking about vibrations, is the Earth going to tilt on its axis or fall into the sea thanks to a giant quake or something? Everyone keeps talking about stuff like that.
Don't join them. Stop talking about it. Start talking about how wonderful it's going to be on the Earth in the future. Then, if you wish, choose to do something about it. I have no plans for the ultimate destruction of the planet. Do you? Encourage your elders to take care of the environment. Ask them to monitor your world's global temperature and take measures to keep it within the range that has made it a paradise. Beg them to stop putting elements into the upper atmosphere that create holes in the protective layer that was placed over the Earth. Ask older adults to stop depending upon fossil fuels and further polluting your atmosphere. They do not have to do this. There are ways to produce energy without doing this. Urge them to preserve the forests and stop cutting them down so that they can have their Sunday newspaper. You can grow a small plant in the ground that will provide you with all the paper you want or need. You can also build houses out of something other than lumber. The present older generation is devastating your planet's own oxygen creation and purification system for no reason at all. Ask the present older generation to keep your water pure and stop using so much of it. Give the Earth a chance to replenish itself. Incredible stress is being placed on your natural systems. It is not required that this be so. Oh, yes. And your nutrient-rich topsoil is almost all gone. Corporate farming groups refuse to rotate crops or give growing fields a chance to reconstitute themselves. They put chemicals into the soil to try to do the job of nature. Humans are chemicalizing themselves to death.
So doomsday is right around the corner? Is that what you're saying?
No, not unless you decide that it is. Your species is making that decision right now, through the 1,001 choices being made every day. The good news, the older you get, the more you have a voice in those choices. In short, your voice is the voice that can change the world.
You keep talking about changing the world. I'm tired already, and I haven't even started. Isn't there any time for me just to relax? Can't we just hang out for a while before tackling everything that's going wrong?
Great question. And the answer is yes. Not only can you hang out before tackling the problems and challenges of the world, you can relax while you're doing it. Relaxation is a huge and important part of the mix, and I'm glad you brought it up. You don't have to walk into tomorrow with the weight of the world on your shoulders. In fact, it will do no one any good if you do that. Have fun with life. Have fun. Spread joy. Share love. That is the three-way path. Have fun. Spread joy. Share love. That is the triune mission. Have fun. Spread joy. Share love. That is the triple crown of the human race.
Chapter 17, Suffering and Death.
Why must so many people suffer if you have the power to make everyone happy?
This is a question that has been asked since the beginning of time. And the reason people keep asking it is that the answers they have been given do not make sense. The human race has been told that suffering is good. Some teachers have even said that I require you to suffer, or that suffering helps you pay for your sins, or that you can offer it up for the poor souls in purgatory, meaning that I will release your ancestors from their torment sooner if you are in torment longer. This last teaching is particularly sad. It paints a picture of me as some insane, insidious, insatiable God who would encourage your anguish as a bribe to grant an early parole to your loved ones, who would say, you can end their suffering by beginning yours, but someone is going to have to suffer here. The whole idea is so opposite to who and what you imagine a loving, caring God to be, and yet it has been taught for centuries by one of your world's most powerful religions. These and other beliefs have caused people to endure terrible agonies, and for no reason. I do not wish people to suffer. The reason that I do not stop human beings from doing whatever they are doing is that I have given human beings free choice to create and experience their lives as they choose. If I took away this free choice and just told them how things are going to be from now on, the entire purpose of life itself would be thwarted. That purpose has now been stated many times. It is to provide each human soul with the opportunity to experience itself fully, freely creating the conditions that will allow it to do so. Now, just for the record here, I never said that suffering is good, and I certainly never suggested that you should require yourself to suffer more than you would require your own animals to suffer in the face of unrelenting pain.
Last summer, we put our very sick cat to sleep because the vet said she was suffering so much and that it was the only humane thing to do. How come you let us do this for animals, but send us to hell if we do it for humans?
I do not send you to hell for this or any other reason. You have pointed out a contradiction that reveals the confusion of the human race around the experience of suffering. Of course, it makes no sense at all to treat a cat more humanely than your grandmother. Logic tells you that no living creature should have to suffer pointlessly.
Does that mean that helping someone die because they're so sick is okay?
Doctors do it all the time. They just don't tell anyone about it. Families have quietly asked for this, and in some cases have done it themselves. So clearly, there are some circumstances in which human beings have felt that it is okay.
But you must be aware that the civil laws in most places prohibit it. So you could go to jail if you do it.
Why do we make such dumb laws?
Neither human laws nor human theologies have ever been required to make sense. Working to change laws that make no sense is one thing that young people could do to make a real difference in the world.
But if you're so powerful, why don't you just end suffering forever? Why not just eliminate it as a possible human experience?
I have given you the tools with which to do that. But human beings have free will, and so far you have not chosen to use these tools. Most of the conditions on your planet that cause people to suffer have been created by humans. And these conditions humans can just as easily uncreate. They simply refuse to do so. A huge percentage of human diseases, nearly all of them actually, are preventable simply by changing human behaviors. All of the deaths caused by human disagreement and war are also preventable simply by changing human behaviors, which can be done by changing human beliefs. Even most accidents are preventable by changing human beliefs and behaviors. Emotional distress, worry, fear, guilt, depression, and mental anguish are just as preventable, again, just by changing human behaviors.
Can you give me some examples?
People could stop smoking, for example, and avoid millions of hours of suffering and thousands of deaths every year. People could stop eating the flesh of dead animals and do the same thing. People could stop making guns easily obtainable and drugs available on every street corner and do the same. People could stop dumping chemicals into rivers and streams, releasing poisons into the air, cutting down millions of trees, much of them irreplaceable old growth, and stop depleting the other resources of the earth faster than the earth can replenish them. People could decide, simply decide, that no matter what their individual, national, or international disagreements, they are not going to kill each other over them, but will find some other way to work things out. People could decide to discontinue living with secrets and lies and hypocrisy and just start telling the truth to each other. People could create a new bottom line in their lives, changing their priorities, broadening their definition of self, and deepening their understanding of love. They could do all of these things, and more.
Why don't they? Why in the world don't they?
Short-term gain. They do not want to give up their short-term gain. Whether it's short-term pleasure or short-term profit, they are not willing to give it up. In this, they are very short-sighted, unable to see or acknowledge the long-term damage they are doing to themselves and to others.
Man, this doesn't make things seem very hopeful to me. You said that you came to me to tell me that the hopelessness has ended. I don't get it.
The conditions and circumstances that cause suffering in the world are reversible. All that your society has to do is change beliefs, and then its behaviors. That is where the hope comes in. You are the society of tomorrow. And with the tools you have been given here, you can produce a newer world, should you choose. The chief behavior humans are now being invited to change is the tendency to seek short-term gratification and to be blind to long-term consequences. If you see some of this behavior in yourself, you can start the process of changing that now, if you wish. You don't even have to wait until you're older. You can create some new behaviors right now, so that in a few short months, when you are ready to move on to the larger stage of life, you will be prepared for your role.
What can I do now?
See if it makes you happy to look a little further down the road when you are making choices and decisions. Ask yourself what you'd like to experience in the long run and what serves that intention. For instance, if you think it will make you happy to get through school without a lot of frustration, hassle, and worry, does it serve you to put off that assignment or skip that class right now because you want to do something else? If you think it will make you happy to go through life without a lot of health complications or emotional challenges and difficulties, does it serve you to use that drug or abuse your body with alcohol because right now you think it might feel good? This is your life you are creating here, and you can do whatever you wish. Yet know you are not creating only this second, this minute, this hour. You are creating parts of the rest of your life, right here, right now, in these days and times. Remember this always. Choices and decisions made in the moment are rarely limited in their impact to the moment in which they are made. Put another way, very often you are deciding more than you think you are deciding. Now, this doesn't mean that you should turn yourself into an overcautious mouse. It does mean that you are invited to consider carefully all of the potential outcomes of the choices you are making, including the outcomes that could occur a little further into the future. This is something that today's older adults have not always done. In fact, they have rarely done it. Yet do not be too hard on them. Most of the human race has been living in an illusion. Only recently has information about the true nature of life and everyone's role in it been available in clear, easily understandable terms.
When will human suffering come to an end?
When humans change their behaviors, and when they understand that the experience of suffering itself is an experience they are creating. Right now, suffering from all conditions, all of them, can be healed.
It can?
Yes. Not all of the conditions can be cured, but all can be healed.
There's a difference?
Yes. A cure is a change in the condition. A healing is a change in the way a condition is experienced. For instance, you can have a condition called a headache, and you can change the way it is experienced without changing the fact that you are in that condition. You have all done this. You have simply decided that having a headache is not going to interfere with something you want to do, and you go ahead and do it anyway, headache or not. Soon you experience yourself having a headache, but not suffering from it. This is what is meant by healing without curing. Often such healing produces a cure. Spontaneously, the headache goes away. I use this as a simple example because it is very common. Human beings have used this process on conditions much more serious than a headache. Such healings are called blessings, and such cures are often called miracles. Pain and suffering are not the same thing. Pain is a physical or emotional experience, and suffering is your point of view about it.
I don't understand. What's that supposed to mean?
It means that one can have pain without having suffering. Pain is something you feel. Suffering is a label you can put on it.
Who do you know who has pain who is not suffering? Am I crazy here?
You are not crazy, and it is a good question. But there is also a good answer. Plenty of people have pain without experiencing suffering. Mothers giving birth are one example. Many mothers who give birth not only do not suffer during the process, they actually welcome whatever pain may come and rejoice in it. Many people with chronic pain, pain that continues day after day, resulting from some injury or illness, have learned to live with it without suffering. Some are so happy to be alive that they have moved to a level of mastery over pain that others would consider intolerable. There are other instances as well where physical pain has not necessarily produced suffering. Having a tooth pulled might be painful, but could be a relief from suffering. This is but one example, and there are many others. As for emotional pain, a growing number of humans are experiencing that it can be a path to healing, and so need not be a source of suffering, but of growth. Grief is one example. Anger that is allowed to be expressed safely and appropriately without danger to self or others is another. So pain and suffering are not the same thing. If you want suffering to end when pain is present, change your mind about the purpose for which it is present. Use your pain. Think of it as a tool in the fashioning of your experience.
I have lots of questions. I know you said if I had one question I could ask of God, what would it be, but I have lots of them. Here are a few. Why do people die? Are we living in hell? Is my life someone's dream? And what is heaven like? Why can't people live forever?
Thanks for going for it. Let's take your questions one at a time.
People do not die. They just change form. For a time, they exist in the form that you call human beings. Then they take the form that you have called spirit beings. They may turn to human form whenever they wish, and they may take other forms as well. You are all divine beings, eternally taking some form or another. You are gods in formation, or to put this another way, you are gods in formation. Yet, why do you do this? Why do people do the thing that you call die? Because all of life is a cycle, and human beings go through their cycles just like everything else. Even if you didn't think you had to, and by the way, you never did have to, you would eventually choose to leave your present body and return to spirit, because it is the nature of life itself to unite with all that is, what you call God, and then to emerge from that allness as an individual version of it, and then to return to the allness once again, and to repeat this cycle over and over again through all eternity.
You mean there's no end to it? I never get to stay with God forever?
You do not want there to be an end to it, because if there was, life itself would end. For this cycle is life. Life is the breathing in and breathing out of God. Even as the moon revolves around the earth and the earth revolves around the sun, so does everything in life revolve in and out of unity with the allness.
Why?
You cannot experience being anything unless its opposite exists. You cannot know yourself as tall unless short exists, or experience yourself as warm unless cold exists, you see. If you never experienced yourself as cold, you would not know what it is to be warm. In fact, if it were always the same temperature, every hour, every day, all the time, you would not even know what temperature it was. In the absence of some other temperature, the experience of temperature itself would disappear. Similarly, in the absence of something other than God, the experience of God itself would disappear. If you were always experiencing being united with all that is, you would never experience being reunited with all that is, because you would never be away from all that is. Because your soul, which is a part of God, intuitively knows this, it will continually cycle in and cycle out of the experience of unification with all that is. It will become one with everything, and then birth itself as an individual part of everything, connected to all of it, but separate from it, even as your hand is connected to your toe as part of the same body, but separate from it. This is what is meant by being born again. And you will be born again many times. Now, to your next question. You are not living in hell. Hell does not exist. Yet you can create the illusion of hell, and you sure as hell will experience it. Hell is the experience of forgetting who you really are. It is thinking that you are separate from me forever. Hell is thinking that you are unworthy, unloved, and unlovable. Hell is thinking that you are useless, hopeless, and pointless. You are none of these things, but hell is not remembering who you really are. There is one sure way of all of you remembering who you are. Remind others of who they are. If each of you will remind each other, all of you will remember. That is part of the work you could be doing while you are on the earth, if you choose. It is wonderful work. It is fun, it is joyful, and it is loving.
How can I do this? How can I remind them of who they really are?
It's so simple that it's shocking. You can do it with a smile, with a kind word, and with any expression of love. With these small gestures, which can be really big gifts, you can give people back to themselves. You can return them to their grandest idea of who they are. You can return them to their power, to their original power. Now, you also asked what heaven is like. This comes as close as anything to describing it. Heaven as a place does not exist. Heaven is a state of mind. It is the experience of our oneness with all that is, and the awareness that we are that, even when we are not experiencing it.